9 and 10.
9 and 10, okay. Ms. McCann?
Yes. So item number 9, followed is waste discharge requirements for groundwater cleanup for Olin Corporation. And this item goes together with item 10, which is a resolution adopting the mitigated negative declaration, which indicates that the groundwater cleanup project covered by the waste discharge requirements will not have any negative environmental impacts as proposed and with its mitigations. These items can be taken up as one or two motions, but it's important that you recognize you have to vote on both items. The staff that's presenting these items today are Taya Tryon, our site cleanup unit supervisor, and Dean Thomas, the case manager and engineering geologist on our staff.
Are our monitors going to be turned on at all? Are our monitors going to be turned on? Okay.
Good morning, Chairman Young, members of the board, and the audience. My name is Taya Tryon. I'm the site cleanup program manager, and I want to especially thank Mr. Bob Cerruti, who's in the audience today. He's with the Perchlorate Community Advisory Group and a San Martin resident, and also Andrew Ventura, who's also representative of Perchlorate Community Advisory Group and Clean Water Action. Dean Thomas of our technical staff will provide you with an overview today of the waste discharge requirements for the Olin Cleanup project, and we highly recommend that you adopt this order today along with the resolution adopting the mitigated neg dec. These waste discharge requirements authorize Olin to extract groundwater that's been impacted with perchlorate and from a plume that extends approximately 1 mile down gradient from the Olin site. The extracted water is then piped back to the Olin facility in Morgan Hill, where it will be treated and all the perchlorate removed and reinjected back into the aquifer. And these waste discharge requirements represent a huge milestone for the cleanup project because we've been working with the community towards this goal of the cleanup since 2003 when the first domestic well showed perchlorate impacts off-site. And this also represents a completion of a huge portion of the cleanup and abatement order for this project, which requires Olin to hydraulically contain and clean up perchlorate in groundwater. And with that, I'll hand it over to Dean Thomas to provide you with the overview of the discharge requirements.
There we go. Thanks for that introduction, Taya. As Taya mentioned, these proposed waste discharge requirements literally allow for the valves to open for the off-site groundwater cleanup to begin once the construction is completed. The project represents the last stage of the Olin cleanup program. It's come a long ways. The groundwater containment and cleanup system will restore the aquifers and the drinking water resource for the domestic and municipal water users in the area. In this talk, I'll briefly discuss details of the groundwater containment, cleanup, and recharge system, kind of a fancy title for groundwater pump and treat. I'll describe what the system is fixing, a little more detail than Taya gave you. I'll also discuss the results of staff's anti-degradation analysis as required by state board policy. Staff is here before the board today urging you to approve these specific waste discharge requirements. If it were not for the fact that the system will be moving nitrate from an area of higher to an area of lower concentrations within the basin, this cleanup system would be regulated under our general waiver, as are many pump and treat systems in Region 3. I'll also discuss the Olin program and proposed order controls and monitoring. Next slide. Thank you. Okay, this is the project here in a nutshell. The 13-acre Olin site is located in Morgan Hill. on Tennant Avenue near US 101 as shown. North is up in the figure. Project consists of an existing on-site extraction well and two off-site wells, one in the intermediate aquifer, IEW1R, and one in the deep aquifer, DW1. Look at about two-thirds of a mile down gradient from the site. Perchlorate-laden water will be pumped by these wells back to the site through a buried pipeline, will be installed as part of this project. To the site is shown in the inset here through a lead and lag polishing vessels and treated to the perchlorate treated to less than detection limits of approximately 1.6 parts per billion micrograms per liter and recharged back to the basin through six shallow injection wells.
Dean.
I see that Dean is using his mouse to kind of walk you through, too. I notice you're doing that. I just wanted to call your attention, everybody's attention, because you can't use a laser pointer in this room. Sorry.
Thanks, John. Okay, the construction design is complete, and Olin has received concurrence from staff and the executive officer on the design. And the CEQA process for the project is essentially complete, as described in item number 10, the resolution to adopt the mitigated negative declaration for the project.
Dean, excuse me, can you go back one? Just a quick question. What are the two IX vessels? What are those, since we're looking at this illustration?
Okay, right here?
Yeah, the two red circles.
Yeah, those are the ion exchange vessels in
ion
series.
Exchange. Thank you.
A lead and a polishing vessel. Okay.
And Dean, with the injection wells, are they injecting into the shallow aquifer or the deeper one?
They're injecting into the shallow aquifer, and I'll show you a conceptual diagram of the system in a couple slides. Explain that in better detail. Okay. Okay, here's what the cleanup system is fixing, and that's namely the perchlorate plume in the plume core areas downgraded of the site. The cleanup action focuses on the intermediate aquifer and the deep aquifers, where high concentrations of perchlorate in the ground are impact drinking water wells. The slide shows the off-site plume core in the intermediate aquifer. The plume impacts several domestic wells, illustrated by the blue dots. However, I should mention that as an interim protective action, Olin is required to provide bottled water wellhead treatment for these domestic wells. The cleanup and abatement order, as adopted by the board in 2007, requires Olin to actively pump and treat perchlorate in the orange or brown areas and the red areas of the plume. The red area is four times the drinking water standard, and the brown areas two times the drinking water standard. The yellow areas above the drinking water standard for perchlorate of 6 micrograms per liter parts per billion. Areas outside of that plume are below 6. So this is what the should back up. The arrow represents the groundwater flow direction in the absence of any influence of pumping in the area. And this project, when the pump start after construction is completed, IEW1 begins pumping at approximately 400 to 400 gallons a minute. It diverges the groundwater flow to this well, much like your drain of the bathtub. It cuts off the plume core areas, delivers that water back to site where it can be treated. Areas just downgrading or cut off from the perchlorate source, and the water gets diverted around the well, and the plume is diluted and cleaned up also. So the next slide, I'll show you a vertical section through this plume, through the plume core and give you a conceptual model of the site. So in this block, conceptual diagram, at the top is the ground surface, a bleak view of the ground surface. North is to the left. See the Olin site and those two downgrading new extraction wells, Tennant Avenue, Maple Avenue. And the three aquifers of concern, the shallow aquifer, the intermediate, and the deep aquifers. These are consist of sand and gravel units. Groundwater flows through these fairly readily, separated by, in the hash marks, a silt aquitard units, fairly tight. They impede or restrict groundwater movement both vertically and horizontally. The downgrading extraction wells, as shown here, the intermediate extraction well, and superimposed on this is the perchlorate plume. And plume core areas in the intermediate and the deep aquifers. The action will pull the perchlorate out of the ground, both these wells, and bring it back to the site, where it strips the perchlorate out of the water, reinjected to the shallow aquifer there. And the blue dashed line is the water table. And then that recharge creates a mounding effect, and it pushes the perchlorate that's hung up in those silts and into the intermediate aquifer, aiding the groundwater treatment system, where it can be pushed out and then captured by the well down gradient. Not shown on this slide are the nitrate concentrations. Olin has conducted extensive monitoring in this basin and down gradient in around the site over several years, and so we have a pretty good handle on the nitrate concentrations in all of these aquifers. The averages in the shallow aquifer, approximately 24 milligrams per liter, as compared to the drinking water standard of 45 milligrams per liter. In the intermediate aquifer, 33 milligrams per liter on average, and in the deep aquifer around the steep extraction well, about 29 to 30 milligrams per liter. So with the monitoring data we have for this site, we have a pretty good handle on the variability. There's significant variability from monitoring well to monitoring well, and also within each monitoring well. But we have several years of monitoring, so we have a good handle, and Olin has a fairly good handle on their anticipated concentrations of nitrate that will be removed, along with the perchlorate treatment stream. Those concentrations are anticipated to be between the low 30s milligrams per liter and the high 30s milligrams per liter.
Dean?
Yes, go ahead.
What are the question marks representing in the lower deep aquifer?
In that red squiggly line?
Yes, in the question marks right below it.
Yes. That signifies, although we have extensive monitoring data in the area, geologic systems are quite complex. As you can see, how that plume got that deep is where exactly that occurred is a bit of a mystery, but we know it's there and we have a pretty good handle on its extent, nature and extent.
Mm-hmm. So, and I see the Tennant well, which is, that's the public drinking water supply well, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's shown as being drawing from water in the plume suspected to be exist in that deep aquifer. And so can you talk about the trends there? What are we seeing there?
Trends in perchlorate?
For the public well.
Yes, the concentration there have dipped below the drinking water standard. They're now between 5 and 6 micrograms per liter. And I should mention that this action, which is apparent here by this slide, will pull the perchlorate toward that deep aquifer extraction well and reduce the concentrations in the influent of that Tennant well. That is the only municipal supply well in the area that is impacted by the perchlorate from the site. And Okay, moving on. So I mentioned that the anticipated nitrate in the treatment stream is carried along with the perchlorate that is cleaned up to non-detect levels between the low 30s and the high 30s. So we know that some degradation in the shallow aquifer will occur. The shallow aquifer is too shallow for appropriately constructed monitoring well, our supply well. Sorry. They need at least 50 foot of sanitary seal. And so as shown here, there are no domestic wells that tap that aquifer. Also, the treated recharge will in no case cause an increase in the nitrate to increase above the drinking water standard. We have long-term effluent limits of 39 milligrams per liter as it compared to the drinking water standard of 45. This system has extensive monitoring and controls, not shown on this slide to not overcomplicate the slide, but there are many monitoring wells in and around the site, at the site boundary and downgrading of the site, in all these aquifers, shallow, intermediate, and deep. And as part of the existing monitoring program, Olin is required to monitor those wells for nitrate and perchlorate to monitor the progress of the cleanup and nitrate changes in concentrations in the anticipated recharge area.
So if you were to look at the data, the nitrate data for the intermediate aquifer, is it a patchwork of highs and lows? And
it's highly variable, like is mentioned, across the actual treatment area, the recharge area, and the capture zones of the wells.
Okay. Did you say that the average was 33?
Yeah, over this.
The intermediate aquifer?
Yes.
What's the range?
The range, I know it is as high as the 80s, if I recall. I could look it up for you. And probably in the 20s, I have a slide I can show you that.
So in some places, it already exceeds the drinking water standard.
Yes.
And are people, is that coming up in domestic wells that people are drinking?
Yes, it is. And with this monitoring data that Olin has collected, we have notified these people where concentrations were found above the MCLs during the course of this project. They were notified with letters as part of outreach.
It's the separate issue that we've been dealing with that we discovered long after we got into the Olin perchlorate problem, kind of superimposed over the top of this. Okay.
Yes, the issue extends throughout the Yagas subbasin, down to Gilroy.
What's your anticipated what's the time frame for getting these aquifers and adjusted down to where the exceedances go down below the limit?
The treatment in the intermediate aquifer is anticipated, based on modeling, to be 15 years, approximately 12 to 15 years for the active pumping. There's two parts of it. There's also an attenuation part. The plume core is, per the CAO approved by this board in 2007, requires active pump and treat in the core areas. And those anticipate that pumping in the intermediate will be at least 12 years. In the deep aquifer areas, the deep aquifer is not as permeable, so it takes a little bit longer to remove that perchlorate because the groundwater flows more slowly. That will take longer. It should be mentioned that the domestic wells, as shown in this diagram by one well, just to give you an example of where the domestic wells get their water, most of them, if not the majority, are screened in the intermediate aquifer in this area. So their aquifer will be cleaned up more readily than the deeper aquifers.
Go ahead.
All right. Okay, next slide. Okay, in conclusion, you know, the results of our staff's anti-degradation analysis is based on our anti-degradation analysis is that the groundwater cleanup and recharge system provides the maximum benefit to the groundwater users in the Morgan Hill and San Martin areas as perchlorate is cleaned up from the aquifers that provide the drinking water to these domestic and municipal well users in the area. You know, our discharge limits, as I mentioned, at long-term 39 milligrams per liter nitrate are protective, along with the monitoring program. Finally, as indicated in the staff report, and Taya mentioned, perchlorate community advisory group, which represents the people in the area, supports the adoption of this order and has expressed that they especially do not want further delays in cleaning up the perchlorate from their aquifers. So with that, staff urges the board to adopt this order and a CEQA resolution to begin getting the yellow iron out there, installing the pipelines, and moving that groundwater through those ion exchange resins to clean it up, clean up the perchlorate out of the groundwater. Thanks.
Dr. Wolf.
Yeah, my question is on the technology to remove the perchlorate. The ion resin exchange, does it represent, you know, best technology available? And then my second part of the question is, has this type of technology and cleanup methodology been used elsewhere successfully? So do we have previous cases either in California or through scientific paper in other states?
Yes, the ion exchange resin is it's a widely used practice. It's, in fact, used on some of the domestic wells now that have high concentrations. It's used at the site right now. I showed the on-site extraction well. That system is running as we speak to capture the perchlorate at the site.
Right.
And so this system expansion is basically an expansion of an existing system, just larger vessels, larger pumps, and expanded controls, computers, alarms, and the like. So I know it's used extensively in Southern California, large sites there also. So
when we make these modeling of length of time for the cleanup, it is also based on previous experience in other sites where you can estimate the concentration, the amount of gallonage, and from past history, being able to project in this case, you know, the 12-year range that you just spoke about. So that's based on
yes,
this experience in other sites.
Yes, the behavior, chemical behavior of perchlorate is fairly well known. It acts a lot like nitrate. Mm-hmm. It's a salt. It does not adhere to the soil particles, so it travels with the groundwater fairly readily. And that makes it easier to model, quite mm-hmm. frankly. And there's just experience with aquifer testing and getting the permeability parameters, the transmissivity of these aquifers. Olin and their consultant has spent a lot of time calibrating the groundwater models, accepted groundwater models, such as the USGS ModFlow is commonly used throughout the world, and that helps in the predictions. The ultimate answer to this will happen as the pumps begin to deliver water, and we look at the monitoring results and compare those to the predictions, and we should, hopefully they're pretty close,
mm-hmm.
But we will adjust things as we get the monitoring data in. We'll closely look at that data, the perchlorate concentration changes with time.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Dr. Hunter?
Mr. Chairman, could I address that point?
Yeah. That was a familiar voice. Looking to my left to see. where it was coming from. Well,
I wanted to add, as far as Dr. Wolf's question, I don't think we've had any breakthroughs, complete breakthroughs of the systems that have been in effect for how many years now? Three years? Or? It's more than 3 years. So we've got 7+ years of experience just with these systems. As Dean said, they're commonly used elsewhere. No breakthroughs. That means no violations. And just to give some perspective, if you look at our enforcement report with our long list of violations from treatment plants, whether they're municipal treatment plants, in some case industrial facilities, you see a lot of violations. So my point is, in terms of perspective, this system is basically bulletproof in comparison to other systems that we typically regulate. And part of the reason for that is that there's basically a backup. So even if the first vessel were to fail, you've got the second vessel to capture anything that might break through, and they're able to monitor that on a basically real-time basis. So it's about as solid a system as you can have.
Dr. Hunter, did you have a question?
Yeah, thank you. First, I just want to say this is probably the best and most comprehensive report written succinctly that the team has put together on Olin. I really was impressed with the report, with not only detailing the issues and the characterizing the problem, and also in helping those who've been tracking on this. I hope it was very helpful in visualizing the extent of the problem, how it exists, you know, in actually how it impacts the different aquifers and how the system is set up and designed to work within that dynamic system. So thank you very much for that report, because I've seen many reports over several years, and this one really did break through for me, some of the different pieces that I don't have the scientific background. And so, again, you know, it was very simple and well presented. Now, the issue, though, that I do want to talk a little further about is nitrate. I realize we're trying to hit a balance here between cleaning up a very serious problem, but also we've identified, as Chair Young noted, another problem, which is a priority problem for our region. And the question I have has to do with the projection for, and since you note that perchlorate and nitrate kind of behave similarly, I'm concerned about the effluent limit that's set at 39 milligrams per liter for nitrates, the trigger point for which we might suspect that nitrate level is going to start to approach 45. Is that trigger point, given the length or kind of long-term process of groundwater movement and flow and cleanup, is that low enough? In other words, by the time it hits 39, are we sure that stopping it at that point and revising or reviewing or whatever happens, whatever triggers then occur, are we sure that we are not in a time frame and a pattern of increasing nitrate that isn't going to reach that 45 just by stopping, you know, the process at that point? Can we talk about that a little bit further? Did you get my question? Okay.
And as you answer that, could you explain further about the 39 number? Where is that being sampled at?
Okay, the 39 milligrams per liter is the quarterly effluent limit, which is the long-term maximum that Olin can push through their treatment system and send to those 6 reinjection wells. They anticipate maximum, based on statistical analysis, as I mentioned, of the aquifers in the area that will drain to these wells, of 38. That's based on a statistical upper confidence limit. Now, as I mentioned, those intermediate aquifer, the average is 33, and that's where the groundwater, that intermediate extraction will pull their groundwater from. So there's going to be, as you mentioned, Chairman Young, you asked the question, there's some variability. There is variability from well to well, but we have an overall average of 33. So in the long term, that's likely going to be the concentration in the that's recharged to the shallow aquifer. But to allow for some variability, and I should mention that each of the extraction wells have inline nitrate analyzers, so they monitor the nitrate in real time. So they will blend, adjust the flow rates if you know, the extraction well, one extraction well is pumping at too high a concentration. They can valve back that well. They can play with the system a little bit. But we left that 39 milligrams per liter as the upper maximum effluent limit. It's well below the 45, which is the drinking water standard, but allows for some of that variability. We do have also the option, as a contingency, the intermediate extraction well is screened through several sections of that intermediate aquifer, and we know a little bit about concentrations within that extraction well. There is a contingency that we can use to basically isolate a section of the well and maybe bring the concentrations down. So that is a contingency. Hopefully we won't have to use that. Based on our evaluation, we don't think we'll have to use that. So I hope that does that answer your question.
So what you're saying is the monitoring system itself is real time. So we're not monitoring something that's been happening, you know, a year back or 2 years back. We're not looking
right.
at data where it's already impacting.
Okay. Yes, and there are alarms in there. If it exceeds the effluent limit, alarms go off, the system shuts down.
Right.
Olin notifies us within 48 hours of such. They troubleshoot it and see what went wrong.
So, again, there's three extraction wells, and between those three wells, there's a possibility for monitoring any spikes that start to show up in nitrates. Wells can be shut down, and further work can be done to determine what's going on there. I think there is a discussion in the report that Olin doesn't feel that they should be treating for nitrate. Is there any, in the long term, is there any consideration that, let's just say worst case scenario, all three extraction wells start hitting those limits for whatever reason, what action would be taken at that point?
Yeah, that would require a rethink, shutdown, and retooling. Definitely, it's highly unlikely. You know, as I said, we've got a lot of monitoring in the basin.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that. I'm just always wanting to understand with nitrates, especially. I think it's important to understand how, you know, something this complicated, how we're going to be able to step through this and consider the worst case scenario could occur.
Yeah, probably what would happen is similar to a lot of municipal wells organizations that deliver water through municipal wells, they use blending. There is an option. There's a location in the deep aquifer where nitrate is pretty low, in the low to mid-20s, and Olin may have to incorporate that well just for the purpose of blending, because that is their treatment methodology is blending, as is, you know, many water supply companies.
So there are different contingencies and different options.
Yes.
Okay. And they're monitoring its quarterly reporting? Is that what you said?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, there are the monitoring wells in and around the recharge area or be quarterly. We're going to bump that up to quarterly based on some comments we received and add some additional monitoring locations based
on
the comments.
Specifically for nitrate or both?
Both.
Okay.
Both. Some may just, well, if we're going to sample for nitrate, probably perchlorate also. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful.
Question for you. I thought you had said that the range of nitrate was up to 80 milligrams per liter in the intermediate aquifer.
Yes.
So don't you anticipate that you might get some hits?
That's just downgrading of the capture zone I showed you.
Okay.
But it's in the area that may be influenced by the recharge water as it moves through the shallow aquifer and infiltrates into the intermediate aquifer. But it's not in the capture zone of the extraction well. There are a couple locations where in the zone that the IEW1R is anticipated to capture that are in the 40s and 50s, but they're isolated locations.
Okay. Yeah. Playing devil's advocate a little bit, since the nitrate is already there and Olin didn't put it there, we got a lot of variability in these aquifers. Why have any effluent limit at all on nitrate?
Yes, we have to ensure that the concentrations don't approach the drinking water standard. We just don't want to go there.
But if they did, it wouldn't be because Olin put the nitrate in the effluent. I mean, put it into the aquifer.
Well, we have an anti-degradation policy that says that Olin is required to use the best practical treatment and control to control the concentrations. So they have to do something to dial it down. And we feel that this limit is protective, but it's within the range of what's anticipated to be pulled out along with the perchlorate.
So, Dean, can I throw in an idea here? And I'm going to ask Jessica to keep an eye on me. So with respect to the anti-degradation policy, you cannot re-inject water above the water quality objective, which in this case would be the MCL of 45 parts per million. So we'd have to have some demonstration in the WDR of we are complying with the anti-degradation policy, that we're not authorizing discharge above the water quality objective. To answer your why have an effluent limit for nitrate.
Okay. I mean, I'm fine with that in the analysis. I don't quibble with that. I just think it's interesting that we've got areas in the aquifer that already exceed that, having nothing to do with what Olin did.
But on the other hand, to mitigate their issue, they have to do the extraction.
Right.
And to clean that up and put it back into another aquifer, you have to meet the standards. And that's where the nitrates come in. So you can't inject contaminated back into an area that's not contaminated. So that's the catch.
Right.
I think that's what the staff is trying to tell us.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, I understand that. I appreciate that. I just think it might be interesting. There may be a slug of, you know, this intermediate aquifer water that comes in, and it may be over 45.
I'm sure it will be in some areas.
Yeah, and it's already there.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but when you start pumping at that magnitude, you're going to create a cone of depression, so you're going to draw in from other areas surrounding those particular wells.
And all that they're doing is moving the water from one place in the aquifer over to another one, maybe a mile away.
Well, but there is some treatment in between.
Yeah, just for the perchlorate.
Well, but it somewhat affects nitrates at the same time. So I think we might have a problem if the nitrates couldn't be somewhat treated at the same time that perchlorate is, and we mandated that, but then they would have to dispose of that water someplace else than injecting it back into another aquifer. Am I correct in that?
There is one. They're not technically treating the nitrates, but one way that they are kind of limiting the nitrates and preventing it from exceeding the MCL is through blending. So even if one well does pick up some of the lower or the higher nitrates from the lower water, once you mix it with the other water that has a lower nitrate, overall it's going to continue to have a less. And one thing I want to make it clear, it's not just that the discharge water is the nitrates are lower than the MCLs, it cannot degrade the water around it to higher than the MCL level as well. So that's why there's going to be monitoring of all of those, of not just the discharge itself, but the wells around it.
Receiving water.
Right, to make sure that we're not exceeding the MCLs in that area.
Yeah, I should add to that that just mixing equations, there's no way that if you're injecting at 39, that it will cause an exceedance of the MCL, the recharge itself. So that's, you know, that's an aspect to keep in mind.
Okay. All right. Any other board questions or comments? All right. Ms. McCann, what next with this?
Do you want to ask for the public commenters?
Okay. All right. Let's see, Michael, is this Bethel or Bethley? Is this on this item?
Oral communication.
Oral communications. All right. Public comment. Great. I have two speaker cards, Robert Cerruti and then Andrea Ventura, if you'd like to address the board.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and board members. My name is Robert Cerruti. I'm a resident of San Martin and also the vice chair for the Perchloric Community Advisory Group. Our chairperson, Sylvia Hamilton, was unable to attend. She's not feeling well. So I told her I'd be happy to step in and give you a few brief comments. PCAG urges this board to adopt the Waste Discharge Requirements Order R3-2011-0209. The Olin Corporation has done well since they have been required to clean up this contamination site, as shown by the various slides that Mr. Thomas has there. The PCAG committee is pleased with what Olin has done over the years, and the community that has addressed their issues in our local meetings has commented on how their cleanup is going well, much faster than many people said. And in fact, there was comments in 2003 when I joined this committee that were saying it'll take 50 years to clean this up. Well, it's moving a lot faster than that. Mr. Thomas had some nice slides here, and one of them showing the zone that this order is to clean up. The red zone in there is running at 25 parts per billion on there. That's pretty high, as he stated, four times that. But we urge that the board continue with Olin on their quest to remove this perchlorate in our aquifer in the Yagas sub-basin, so all the residents of Morgan Hill, San Martin, and Gilroy can return back to clean, fresh drinking water. Thank you very much.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Dr. Hunter.
Mr. Cerruti, did the PCAC have any review or comments or discussion on the other issue of nitrates and the way that the plan to manage nitrate levels for reinjected treated water?
Yes, we did discuss that over the last couple of years, and we would like to see the nitrates continue to go down. They do fluctuate sometimes. In my well, right now it is the lowest I've seen in 24 years. I'm appreciative of that, but how that is going to change, I'm not an expert on that. Mr. Thomas is more knowledgeable of those things than I am. But I think the trend is in the right direction, and I just hope it continues that way, along with the perchlorate removal by the Olin Corporation.
And one more question. Will the PCAC continue to remain actively engaged with the program and the process, or?
Yes, okay. Yes, definitely. I myself have been very active since day one, joining the committee, along with members of the regional board, which I want to commend them and their predecessors. In fact, he's not here, Mr. Harvey Packard, and Hector Hernandez. Those people have been just wonderful, been very effective and helping us a great deal, and the community is appreciative of all that they've done.
So have you had easy access to the data, and are you I see somebody shaking their head yes behind you, the monitoring information, the quarterly reports and so forth, is that something that the PCAC has easy access to, and easy access to staff with your questions if you have concerns?
Yes, we do get copies of that, and in our meetings, which now are basically on a quarterly basis rather than monthly because things are moving along well, we do address any issues that come up on those reports with the regional board members, and it's been working quite well.
Thank you. Glad to hear that. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Andrea Ventura.
Morning, and thank you for allowing me to address you today on this important issue. My name is Andrea Ventura, and I'm here on behalf of Clean Water Action and our members in the Yagas Subbasin, but also I've been involved with the PCAC since 2003. And I'm here to strongly urge you to adopt the proposed WDR. It's obviously essential in addressing the perchlorate contamination in the most effective an expedient manner possible, and it will obviously go far in protecting public health. Not moving forward with this today would negate years of both study and consideration, both by PCAG and obviously the regional board staff, and it would leave us basically without a game plan on how to move forward. We obviously support the state's anti-degradation policy, and so we take the situation with the nitrate very, very seriously. But at the end of the day, we believe that the WDR does address the nitrate to at least mitigate or to reduce the impacts of that problem becoming worse through the monitoring program and the ability to stop and, you know, step back and figure out how to deal with it if we do start hitting well closures or exceedances, though we don't anticipate that would happen. I just want to say that the communities of the affected area here, they've waited a long time for implementation of a process to actually start getting this stuff out of the water. They've been concerned about the health impacts and the continued pollution in the groundwater as a result. And one of the things to kind of address what Ms. Hunter asked, one of the ways that they, as a community, have dealt with this is to educate themselves. And the materials have been available. We really commend the regional board staff in allowing that sort of interaction with the community. And we, Clean Water Action, agrees with the community's analysis that this will move forward. We can put in safety measures to avoid a further nitrate problem in the drinking water, but without this WDR, we will not only not address the nitrate that's already in the water, but we won't be addressing the perchlorate, and that simply doesn't make sense. So we urge you to adopt this today, and we thank you for your consideration, and we thank the staff for their continued dedication to this community.
Thank you for your comments. Do we have anyone from the city of Morgan Hill here? Okay. All right. Any other board comments or questions on this item?
Well, may I ask first, do we have someone here from Olin?
No more cards.
No more cards at all.
No. Okay. And I had just one more quick little question.
Go ahead.
In regard to the nitrates, since how many years of monitoring do we have now on our hands?
I believe it goes back to 2004.
Okay. So have we looked at the correlation between annual rainfall? You know, we since then we've gone through a three-year cycle of drought, and then we have had years of 150% of average rainfall. Do we see any impact in terms of nitrate concentration or annual rainfall?
I haven't studied that specifically. You know, some wells do vary quite a bit, and others are pretty steady. I should back up and say the tenant wells and the municipal wells have been monitored going way back, and they started out having nitrate, their tenant, above the MCL, and we've seen steady declines. And we anticipate that to move forward with the change in land uses in the area and also more conscientious effort to deal with ag discharges. So that I can say.
Okay. Thank you.
I'd like to move to approve.
Okay. All right. All those.
Can we take both items at the same time?
Yes. I think you need to make the motion, though, to approve both items then together.
Okay. Then I would move to approve item 9 and item 10.
You second the together. Motion.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Thank you very much. All right.